skirted courtyard. The enclosure was bounded by a two-story-high wall of stone blocks, topped with a spiral coil of razor wire, old and rusty, which only made the stuff more dangerous. To the right was a four-story building with grilled windows, behind which rose a castle-like tower. Eugene's dungeon.
Rain in a few hours. That'll give us cover.
Excellent. The acid will hide our tracks from the dogs. Hell of a choice. Rain or dogs.
Returning to the door, Jack shoved a knife blade under the jamb to hold it firmly in place.
Yeah. Has to slow for heartbeat.
Christie's hair coiled and uncoiled.
This is too easy. Where are the Sekhmen?
Inside searching for us?
She studied the high walls, a thin wind moaning through the bare stone turrets.
Maybe.
Keep moving!
Ryan shook and almost fell in spite of his makeshift crutch.
Gotta find shelter from rain.
Shard?
The man made a vague gesture.
Past the tower is the side gate. Guarded, not guarded, I don't know anymore.
Ryan took a tentative step and started to slump. Mildred caught the man and carefully placed her shoulder under his good arm and braced him upright. Shoving her pistol into a pocket, the stocky doctor slung his rifle over her shoulder and started to walk. Christy and Dean moved beside them and stayed close by. Hugging the wall for protection, the companions moved along as quickly as possible, with JB in the point position, his stolen Thompson carefully switched from single shot to full auto. The cold wind was getting stronger by the minute, dry leaves swirling about the isolated courtyard. There were water troughs and hitching posts for horses, also an old gallows, the noose twisting in the wind. Edging past the tower, JB called a halt, then urged them on faster. Coming into view was a huge door of riveted steel set into the stone wall.
How are we getting through that?
You know...
Jack frowned deeply.
The gallows. Use the rope.
Ryan's voice faded away completely, and the man went limp. Mildred shook the wounded man, trying to rouse him.
To do what? Come on, Ryan. Use the rope to do what?
Dean pointed with his revolver.
Hot pipe, look there!
Over by a tiered array of wooden crosses was a large, familiar-looking canvas lump, big military-style tires clearly discernible under the stiff covering.
Dark night! It's Leviathan! We can blow our way out the door!
Rushing over, the companions dashed underneath the canvas, and there was the massive tank, covered with hundreds of metallic cylinders.
Run!
Christy backed away. Instantly, there was a hissing sound from Leviathan and from the ground underneath them. The redhead weaved drunkenly and then dropped.
No!
Mildred suddenly realized that the entire courtyard had to be one huge trap. Holding her breath, the physician tried to race away on melting legs and fell onto the cobblestones, taking the unconscious Ryan with her. Spitting curses, Doc collapsed, followed by Dean, Jack, and Shard. In raw desperation, JB wildly fired the Thompson at the ropes holding the canvas awning in place, hoping to cut it loose and let in the wind to disperse the gas. But the shots ricocheted harmlessly off the granite, and only a single rope was parted. The world began to spin around him, and the stubborn armorer tried once more to trigger the weapon as he gently floated off into a bottomless hole of warm, inky blackness. The long, windowless corridor was lined with wall torches and electric lights. A plush blue carpet covered the stone floor, and every 5 yards a grating closed off the passageway, with Sekhmen standing rigidly at attention behind iron kiosks. The lieutenant hurried along the corridor, the Sekhmen rushing to open the grates for him, and then hurrying to close them behind. No password was asked for or given. The dire expression on his face was more than enough security clearance. The corridor opened to a small room with a squad of Sekhmen in attendance. All gambling stopped as they silently watched his approach with growing trepidation. 2 heavily armed guards flanked a high-vaulted portal suitable as a bank vault door. The large Sekhmen stood at parade rest, the butt of the M16s resting next to the soles of their boots, the barrel held in a tight grip, a full arm's distance from their spotless uniforms.
Lieutenant Anders, to see the deputy and Lady Ward.
Password?
The corporal guard's black face was without expression. It was as if he had been carved from obsidian.
Rain cloud.
Pass, and good luck.
The lieutenant paused, his hand an inch away from the door.
They're in a bad mood?
Been talking to their father.
The corporal still stared straight ahead. Sighing, Anders polished his boots on the back of his trousers, then exhaled into the palm of his hand to check his breath. Straightening his collar and adjusting his dress uniform of army fatigues with gold epaulets, he knocked firmly on the door and stepped through without waiting for a response. Whatever function the audience room had originally been used for was impossible to tell, after so many generations of decoration and alteration. There were countless tapestries and embroidered curtains, some hiding secret doorways, some covering blank wall space to confuse invaders. A fireplace large enough to roast a person stood on either side of the cavernous room, yet walking along the slim blue ribbon of carpeting, Anders could feel no heat from the crackling flames. Overhead, the cathedral-style ceiling was dotted with crystal chandeliers, bathing the place in the unnatural illumination of electricity. A chained pack of pit bulls was growling in a corner, chewing on some femur bones and tiny skulls. In the opposite corner sat a strictly utilitarian nest of sandbags, fronting a squat and ugly large-caliber machine gun called a Maxwell. A three-man team stood behind the machine, ready to unleash its awesome destructive powers. 10 steps, pause. 10 steps, pause. Anders exactly followed the formula for approaching the presence of the ward and his heirs. Their massive chairs rested on a raised marble dais. In one chair sprawled the lady ward, half-dressed as usual, although heaven and hell save the commoner who noticed her lack of clothing. Young servants were brushing her hair and massaging her feet as Amanda sipped wine from a golden chalice and stared angrily at the lieutenant. Not a good sign. Beside her was the deputy ward in full formal regalia, tassels on his boots, plumed hat, waistcoat, vest, ruffles, and cape. He appeared to be a dandy, a fop, as they used to say, but in truth he was a brutal commander, and the deadliest blade known. Deputy Ward Richard Coltier was sitting forward on the edge of his chair, using an oily cloth to polish a pre-dark saber of astonishing sharpness. An even worse sign. The anger of the son of the ward struck like lightning, coming from nowhere without warning, and the saber was his preferred death tool. Once it left the scabbard, it was never returned without first tasting blood. Anders was somewhat relieved to note the curtain hanging behind them was closed, cutting off any possible view of the ward. At least he wouldn't have to cope with that today. Removing his helmet, Anders bowed to the heirs of the vill, low for the son, lower for the lady, and he damn near kowtowed to the closed curtain.
"My lord and lady, I come to report bad news."
Richard glared, and Amanda dashed aside the chalice, red wine spraying over the floor.
"Oh! We know! What happened to them, Lieutenant? Where are they? Where?"
Her hands formed claws upon the wooden arms of her chair, her expression radiating an insane madness beyond words.
"Milady, we went into the courtyard as soon as the sleep gas was gone."
Anders' heart was pounding in his chest. His right hand was tucked into his white leather belt, and surreptitiously fingering a derringer, ready to blow out his brains before becoming a toy for Eugene.
"And?"
Richard drummed his manicured nails on the curved arm of the chair.
"And they were gone. There was no sign of them."
"Unacceptable! Who led the guards to collect them?"
"Corporal Phineas."
"Kill him!"
Richard daintily straightened his cape.
"No. Strip him of all rank and send him to the mines."
But my lord, the slaves will kill him with their bare hands."
A new chalice was given to her. The blonde raised the golden cup and took a sip.
"And your point is?"
"What I want to know is, did they escape or were they rescued?"
"Both actions are unthinkable."
"Yet one must be true. Either the gas had no effect."
"Impossible. Or perhaps we have a mutiny in the vill. Somebody immune to the vapors who removed their sleeping bodies."
"Before the guards arrived? Also impossible."
Richard gripped the sword at his hip. Golden tassels dangled off the pommel, and silver threads entwined the scabbard in ornate finery.
They aren't inside the tank. We can see through the front window, and there's nowhere for even a single person to hide.
That you know of.
He admitted this was true,